LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Good Tuesday morning. You are waking up with the sun. I'm Sun sports writer Case Kiefer alongside Taylor Byrne, breaking down everything in Las Vegas sports, and a lot going on here in the middle of July. We've got the World Series of Poker down to the final table. You can read all about it at LasVegasSun.com/sports. NBA Summer League now in town right after the Olympics make their way out. And a whole lot of stadium talk after our special print edition of the Las Vegas Sun Sunday, chock full of so many stadium stories. I don't even know if anyone wants to know this much about stadiums, but if they read the paper now, they do.
I know you do, Case. I know that this topic just enthralled you as we, you know, sports writers sort of dove in to subjects that were way above our heads, or at least way above my head. I know once I get into the economic discussion, all of the political back and forth, it was eye-opening and mind-numbing at the same time.
Right, yeah, make sure you read 13 of our 15 stories up there, and the two you cannot read are mine, because I'm sure they're terrible. I didn't read them. I don't even remember what they're about. I kind of wrote them and just got them out of my mind.
I read at least one of them, and it is not as bad as Case is suggesting. He's an excellent writer. He's just being modest on a subject that, like I said, can be frustrating, but an important one in this community, considering how long a lot of these discussions have been going on, you know, going back a long time. But that's for later in the show. Leading us off, the World Series of Poker is getting down to the final table. We're recording this on a Monday, almost noon. And by the time you listen to this, we should be set up with our final nine, right, Case?
Yeah, hopefully.
If not, Case will still be at the Rio. What sustains you at, like, 1 to 3 in the morning as you're, like, staying up watching this? Do you have, like, Cliff Bars with you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Usually I will run to the gift shop and get something, but in the past years it's been, I don't know, it just gets silly, but I usually have entertainment with some of my colleagues, Oscar Garcia and Howard Stutz. Well, Oscar Garcia, if you know, the ace AP reporter, has moved to Hawaii, so now we're down one man. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure out something else.
What were the ways that you guys would entertain yourselves?
Well, like last year, I came up with a game where we would pick the suit of every flop, and I think I had diamonds. And
like which one would be more prevalent?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I think Oscar had spades. Or we changed it around a lot, but he had spades at the beginning. I think Oscar won. Just ridiculous things like that. Or I don't know. If someone wants to – see, that's a problem. Is I don't have many other friends there now this year. If someone wanted to bet like $5 on every flop if it's going to be red or black, that would keep me entertained.
This reminds me of the Super Bowl party.
And more than likely, you're going to wind up breaking even. But at least it would be exciting, and it would be something other than just staring for hours upon hours. The other problem is that ESPN set gets really hot.
So there's all those lights. Because of all the lights?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I'm not there at 8 a.m. when this airs on Tuesday morning.
So wear shorts, bring food, make friends. You know, I know there's a you and I both went to Kansas. I believe that there's a Kansas grad working on the PR side with WSOP. Maybe she's interested in getting in on your little flop games. You know, there, fill Oscar's shoes. I'm just trying to help you here, Case.
Wait, what was the last thing you said?
The intern for World Series of Poker.
No. The Oscar. Oh, Phil Oscar's shoes. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. It took me a second. I hear Phil, and I was like, wait, who's Phil?
Phil Hellmuth. Yeah, see if Phil wants to play your games.
Yeah, I am.
But Phil's no longer hanging around, right? A lot of the big names kind of already gone from this, which certainly hurts the star appeal, if there is such a thing with WSOP, which I think there is. But, you know, a lot of online guys, kind of what's the makeup as we're heading into what will be the final table?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we've gotten used to every year. When there's 7,000 people in an event, every year the final table's for the most part unknown, not guys you know. But I think last year there were two guys I had heard of before make the final table. And dating back to, and I don't have the exact year, but dating back at least to 2008, and I'm guessing even further than that, probably 2004, 2005, there's at least one guy that, you know, you're pretty familiar with that has some history that makes the final table, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year. A whole lot of pros, recognizable pros, made the money, and we're kind of in the running on day 6, which was Sunday. I'd say there were about 15 people that I knew pretty well or were pretty well known, and they all met their demise on Sunday. So it looks like it's going to be all new faces at the final table this year. Nobody that really has a ton of tournament earnings. I think there's only two people that have over $1 million, which, I mean, sounds like a lot, but that doesn't take into account all that they've paid and everything else. So really, just having slightly over $1 million really isn't a whole lot of in the tournament world earnings-wise.
Do you think long-term that could be a good thing? Possibly, like, if somebody, you know, makes a run this year and maybe that jettisons them to like that type of star level, or, you know, because we've seen it with recent years, which with unknowns coming up and kind of being the guys to take it down. And I'm not sure if they've had the lasting like recognition, like when they show up the following years. Like, do you think that could happen? I use the example of Chris Moneymaker, who, you know, for a lot of reasons was memorable, but that was, you know, kind of the making a star out of a nobody. And I think, you know, he's still at least a name and probably face recognition still up there for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. I think poker community-wise, I mean, whoever wins automatically is someone you know forever. Eyes will be on them. But it's tough because we don't know all these people's stories yet. You know, if an amateur wins that does something else in their spare time, I think that could be big, like Moneymaker, because then someone's going to say, oh, look, all these people came in and dethroned the pros. But the most likely, looking at the final field, or most of these guys probably do this for a living. They just don't do it for a living on the level of a Phil Ivey or a Phil Hellmuth, where there's, you know, exchanging just hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, they're probably grinding the lower stakes. They find a way to get into the main events. It's such a big deal. And I don't really think that story has quite the crossover appeal. The one thing I will mention I think could be big is there are two women left, and only one woman has ever made the final table, which is just crazy to think of. You think it would be higher than that. Gail Bauman from France and another lady, Elizabeth Hill from Norway. If one of them were to win it, I think that would be a huge deal. I think a lot of people would be talking about, wow, this a female outlasted this field of 6,598 to win $8.5 million.
Are you looking at something for those numbers? Because that was incredibly accurate.
No. The numbers I knew. I actually am looking at the field.
Case Kiefer just pulling the entrance and the total of $8.5 million is a little easier.
I've just typed it so many times, but yeah, I am looking at the names.
Was Annie Duke the one to make final table, or who was the?
No, I think Annie Duke actually came in 10th one year, so she was one spot short. The only woman is, I believe, Barbara Enright, who's a local, I think, I hope that's right. But I think it was Barbara Enright in the 90s sometime, 95, 96, something like that.
All right. World Series of Poker, not the only thing that Case Kiefer is keeping tabs on this weekend. On Friday, I made it out to Cox Pavilion for the debut of the NBA Summer League, and Case went there on Sunday as a fan to catch with his Miami Heat. And so I'm actually curious, from your perspective, just going to the stands and as someone who has, you know, a bit of a invested interest in a particular team and seeing how the young guys do, you know, I guess what was your takeaway? I know that they won, played pretty well. Is it just kind of is it equivalent to going to like an NFL training camp just to kind of look at the people?
Yeah, I think it is, but I think it's even. As much as I love the NFL, I think it's probably even a little bit better than that, just to see, I guess maybe like a preseason game, just to see him play against some real competition. I think it depends from team to team, but the Heat, I mean, they have two open roster spots, and some of these big guys, it's very likely one of these big guys is going to make the team. Plus, they had three guys that were actually on the team and won rings last year. Norris Cole, who was a pretty, you know, big contributor by summer league standards, and then Dexter Pittman and Terrell Harris, who neither really played a whole lot, but I wanted to see them because they're going to be on the roster again next year. I thought it was a lot of fun. Good turnout. I've been pretty impressed both years I've been down there with how many people come to the summer league games.
How many do you think were there? Because on Sunday, that was the first day that they opened up Thomas and Mack also, and now for, I believe, the duration, there will be games at both Cox Pavilion and Thomas and Mack. When I was there, it was just at Cox, and it was, you know, basically filled to the brim, especially getting around 5 o'clock when the Lakers played, because that'll always bring out people from here. But, you know, kind of what was the crowd like for the Heat game?
I'm so mad I'm missing the Heat play the Lakers Monday afternoon. I will not be there.
Boy.
I'd say it looked like, I don't know who was playing at the Cox when I was there, but it was packed. It looked like there were basically no seats. And then in the Mac, there's probably about 3,000 people.
So that is a really good turnout if you've got both of those.
Yeah. And it was weird. I think the Cavaliers and the Bobcats are playing next. the vast majority of people there were Cavaliers fans. There's so many Cavs hats and Cavs garb. It was really, I didn't know there were that many Cleveland fans in
I don't know, would Vegas. You... That makes more sense. I thought you were going to say we're Bobcats fans.
Well, I was like,
really?
I was actually sitting behind either the wife or girlfriend / baby mama of one of the Bobcats, and I was trying to figure out who it was, but I failed.
So wait, how did you confirm that it was one of those options of a Bobcats player without knowing which player?
Well, just the way they were talking, I knew that they were related in some way to one of the players. And then when the Bobcats are walking into their locker room, one of them like stopped and waved to their child, and it started waving back and something. And
did
then
you just say it started waving back?
the baby.
The child.
I wasn't getting gender specific, I guess. The child started waving back, and then actually, like one of the assistants, maybe it was just a manager. Ran up a note to,
oh, really? It's
to
a little love letter.
Yeah, I was like, this is kind of weird.
You had a good seat for this.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And so I know it was Bobcat related to a Bobcat in some way.
That's good to know. Good reporting, Case Kiefer. Appreciate that. Now, we're talking NBA Summer League. One of the things, and Case mentioned it earlier, with the big stadium / arena project that we came out with Sunday's printed edition of the Las Vegas Sun, we break down the four proposals that are kind of in town: the UNLV Now, which is a stadium on UNLV's campus, and then arenas in Henderson or downtown or on the Strip. All of them just kind of coming in at the same time. We wanted to just sort of break it down with where they're at, and what it could mean for the future of Las Vegas. All those stories are up on LasVegasSun.com. But on it was either Thursday or Friday, sports editor Ray Brewer and I and government reporter Joe Shaneman sat in this very room and recorded a little podcast just kind of on the subject of all of these proposals and things. And we wanted to share a little bit of that with you. When we're jumping in, we're talking about the viability of the NBA in Las Vegas, because that's something that a lot of the arena proposals especially are all saying that that's something that they're going to bring in. And, it remains to be seen. But this is Ray Brewer, myself, and Joe Shaneman talking about the arena proposals and UNLV Now in Las Vegas.
Joe, I could say Taylor knows more about this than anybody in Las Vegas, even more than the people that are trying to build it. And he reports that it's actually a better possibility than even some of the skeptics think. Joe, are we going to have that home game everybody wants on campus?
Yes.
Yes.
That's my prediction. It's still, there are hoops to go through, but it was interesting. In fact, I just had a talk yesterday with a top state legislator. It was off the record, but I was asking, has anybody come up with an objection to what UNLV and Majestic Realty Company, they're the people that put the Staples Center together, what they want to do on campus? And that essentially is create a tax district that focuses only on the stadium and this retail development. Outside of that, sales taxes would not be collected for the purpose of supporting the stadium. It would just be in this area. Anyways, I asked if there was any objection anywhere in the state, because I hadn't heard any, and one of my editors asked me if they'd heard of any, and they said no, which to me is a sign that if there's no objection, they're going to go to the state legislature early in February, ask to gain approval for this tax district. If that happens and it's approved very quickly, they say they can be building the thing in late 2013, and that's really the only holdup. The regents have to approve a master plan that includes the stadium, the retail area, and dormitories. I can't imagine the Board of Regents not approving that.
And they've already kind of given their okay to move forward last month, or maybe 2 months ago now. So UNLV possibly getting the dream stadium, and everything looks good. Our project, though, not only focuses on the UNLV proposal, but also one downtown, one possibly in Henderson, and the one by Caesars behind Harrison and Imperial Palace. And I've always thought, you know, and I've grew up here, always wanted to have this because I know that a stadium could lead to possibly an NBA team, but I always thought that it was a pipe dream and not a reality, and that if we got the UNLV project, we wouldn't be able to get one of the other three. But maybe that's not all too accurate, and maybe we could get the UNLV thing built in Vegas and maybe something else.
That's what all three arena developers, proposers say, that they wouldn't compete. The stadium would have mega events, football, maybe NFL exhibition games, more than one NCAA football bowl game. It could be Democratic or Republican national conventions. And the arena would be, they're all pretty sure that if they built it, NBA would come. Some NBA team would come here. And they wouldn't compete. The Thomas and Mack would still remain for the Rebels, and the Thomas and Mack is also going to be renovated electronically, they say, and in all sorts of other different ways.
It's just a cool time for Las Vegas, and I mean, the question that I guess lingers is, where's the money going to come from?
It seems possible. What they're all talking about doing is this. Is creating sales tax districts. That is, all the sales taxes that are collected within a certain area go back into the project that's being built. Now, sales tax in 1 year won't be enough to build the thing or to even pay off the bonds, but it will be used as leverage so that the entities can then go into the bond market and say, look, we're taking in $30 million a year in sales taxes. So we're going to try to sell you $500 million in bonds. And that $30 million is insurance. If the bonds fail, well, the people who are buying the bonds still have some of that. They can get something back. They know that that sales tax revenue is always going to be there.
On the on UNLV now, because I'm not from here. I even just came in December. But pretty early on, just started hearing about how, you know, a football stadium on campus – and it's been rumored, it's been discussed for years. And so one of the things that when I met with President Smatris was, why now? You know, like, why is now the time that it's finally going to happen? I'm curious, you know, what were some of the answers that in reporting this that you heard for that?
I think they see it. They see an uptick in the economy here. It's a very good question. It's the question is, why didn't they do it when things were just like raging here? And why now? It's been talked about for at least 7 years, probably 10, probably even more. I think they want to capitalize on what they think may be an economic upturn, and it's almost being propelled by simple talk of it, by the need to want to get in the ground before somebody else does. And there's no arguing that UNLV also thinks, at this time when the, you know, money is hard to come by, that it would bolster fundraising from alumni. It would bring more students in, all kinds of different ways of bringing more revenue to the university, which they really need.
When I talked to Neil, we were just discussing how if it happened and everything around it happened, you're talking about completely changing the face of UNLV, you know, possibly forever. Like, this is kind of a legacy-defining thing. The arenas, you know, seem to exist in kind of a different area, and it just happens that they're all kind of coming in at the same time. You mentioned the NBA. All of the arena proposals talk about the NBA and even throw in the NHL, like, we think they can get them. How legitimate is that? I haven't gotten the impression that they have anything more than, yeah, if we build this arena, sure, it's NBA ready, sure, we'll get one. But it hasn't felt any more real than that to me.
No, I think because of things we wrote, maybe it was about 2 years ago, when one of these same arena proposers said, you know, he basically had an NBA deal in his pocket. And when that didn't come to fruition, I think it scared anybody from saying anything more than that. However, behind the scenes from everybody I've talked to, people from these different proposals, they all say that secretly, you know, or in meetings or dinners or whatever, the NBA says, at least from the NBA offices position, that, yeah, if you build this, there's going to be an NBA team in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. You know, David Stern is not going to talk to me about it. Nobody from the NBA is going to say that. if they don't do it, I think, for instance, Caesars, they believe that that would be a big part of their revenue stream is the NBA here and how they would package deals to get fans from other NBA teams to come here on their away games. You know, like the old fun jet days. They'd get a fun jet, cheap package to come to some hotel here, and while you're here, stay 3 days and see your basketball team play the Las Vegas NBA team. So I don't think, at least Caesars, I don't think they'd be building that thing if they didn't think it was going to be here. I mean, they're in by the numbers group, by the bottom line. I don't know a casino that builds things that they don't think will make them more money.
Mm-hmm. The legal wrangling around the Las Vegas Arena Foundation proposal, which is what we've been
calling Caesars,
has been probably the most confusing thing for me when I go into this, because they got all of the petition signatures, but the wording, at least MGM's contention, and I think anybody who would read it would probably agree, it doesn't really say in there that the parameters that they've set up make it so you basically would have to build it on this land donated by Caesars, and it could eliminate potentially other proposals. Like, that wasn't in the wording. So I understand the contention. But the Supreme Court's ruling just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, they upheld the objection, but said it could still go forward.
Which is counter to the actual, like, law. I had to go through the bylaws that says if even one word is changed, you got to strike it. It has to go to petitions again.
That's exactly it.
Which is why now I think it's going back to the Supreme Court. And I honestly, when it first went back to there, I thought maybe they were going to change the bylaw then. Which I don't even know if you can do.
I mean, I'm so cynical. I think they're going to change it in a way that suits the most powerful party, and that'll be either Caesars or MGM, which are the two most powerful parties on the Strip.
Yeah,
and I think this is a keen example of why we don't have anything right now, because Joe could tell you, you've been writing about this for years, there's a project behind Mandalay Bay, a project next to the Sahara, a project here, a project there, a project everywhere, but ultimately there's some kind of hiccup and it doesn't get done, or it's just a proposal with no money that's just a dream. But now all of a sudden, forget all that, and you're telling me that not only is UNLV look real good, but we could probably get another one too, whether it be Caesars or I guess maybe downtown.
I think UNLV, to me, just simply because they have a Majestic behind it, and they spent 16 months studying it, and they're putting millions. It's not quite $10 million, but up to $10 million in the planning now that they got this approval a couple of months ago from the Regents. They're going forward with sort of everything that the millions will take up to plan traffic studies, architectural drawings. And the other three I liken to what happened like in 1995, when maybe every couple of weeks or so there'd be an ad in the newspaper for a new high-rise in Vegas. At one time, there were proposals for 88 high-rise towers in downtown Las Vegas and throughout Clark County. After a certain period, I don't know, maybe 15 got built, maybe 10. So there's three arena proposals, just by the volume of them, and because there's such fierce competition, I think one of them will get built.
Before we go, I'm going to ask you guys to paint a picture of Las Vegas in, let's say, 10 years. What arena is going to be built? What teams we're going to have playing here? And I guess I'm going to kind of go first, let you guys kind of formulate it. And I'll piggyback off your NBA thing right here on the Rebel Room. I just don't see Las Vegas and the NBA match together. I thought All-Star Weekend was an absolute train wreck and the mess that it brought to the Las Vegas Strip. While David Stern has definitely backed down on some of his comments about the NBA in Las Vegas and his worries with gambling and the nightlife here, because, you know, gambling and nightlife do exist in other towns. I think that is a huge hurdle that they'll have to get over, especially, you know, Donahue, the referee, has been convicted of point shaving. And I just don't see the NBA in Vegas as a match. And I think that if one of these arenas, downtown Caesars or in Henderson, if that ever happens, was to get built, I really, honest to God, don't think an NBA team would come here. I think you were right, Taylor. Kansas City, Anaheim, Seattle would be ahead of Vegas on the list. Color me crazy. My final comments. Whoever wants to talk next, go ahead.
We'll give Joe the final word, so I'll go here. I believe that there will be a on-campus football stadium that's been running for a few years by that point. We're talking about 10 years from now. I think you could even be looking at possible Pro Bowl game there, something to that effect. I know that, you know, exhibition NFL games is something that's very much desired. Get NFL franchise out of your head. That's not happening. But other things could, you know, Joe mentioned the Democratic or Republican National Convention is just the biggest conventions that there are in the country, in the world, that, you know, just couldn't come to Vegas before. They're going to want this spot because it's viable. It's right. It would be right next to the Strip. It's walking distance to everything. I think it just makes a lot of sense, and it fills a hole that the others don't. And that's why I'm less sure on what happens in the arena world. Until I see an NBA team or NHL team come here, I'm not going to believe that it's going to happen. But I believe that there are events out there that would like to come to Vegas if they have the proper venue. I think UNLV has put together a pretty good plan. Majestic absolutely knows what it's doing. Staples Center, LA Live, that's all done very well. I think that happens, and it changes UNLV. I don't know if it'll have the impact that Neil necessarily wants for future generations and bring
Pac 14,
and bring in alumni back. But I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it happens. The others, I'm very much just a wait and see.
As for an arena, I think one is going to be built. I'll just go on the record. I could be proven wrong. The Henderson one will not get built. For one, who wants to drive all the way out to Henderson to see a game maybe you live out here, but I don't. But it's distant from like 75% of the population. Going down to the Strip for a game would be more interesting if a game is there. Casinos or the city will build it, though, because even if they don't get an NBA team, they've talked to me about the numerous sort of events that they could have one that would support it. However, I think, I don't know, to an NBA team and to the ballers, I think Las Vegas proves like a really exciting and interesting venue to have a team. I think all the NBA really cares about is whether or not they think they have the money or the support to keep a team viable, financially viable. And I don't think they would even invite an NBA team here, especially a casino, which, again, is bottom-line driven, if they didn't think they could make money on it and that the team would survive. I'm telling you, if it does happen, NFL will happen here in 20 years.
No way.
If NBA comes here and works, NFL was going to come here. First, it's going to be NFL exhibition games.
Totally get that. Listen, the NFL is...
But by then, gambling will be legal.
I don't care about gambling.
Gambling's everywhere in the country.
But the NFL does.
I understand about gambling. Could you imagine our NFL team? Dude, the Giants, awesome. The Giants play here. There'd be 30,000 New Yorkers come in town. Great for the economy. Our team would be on the road every week.
To this day and age when a lot of teams...
Arizona. Team would be 0-16.
Maybe the first year. And that's the same problem that you're talking... Or that I was talking about earlier with, Las Vegas only knows how to support winners. So could they support a team as it builds? Well,
what's great about the NFL is parity does develop after a while due to the picks. Franchise sharing feet, whatever that's called.
And also, NFL, you're only talking about 8 games as opposed to like 41.
Yeah, they'd be events. I understand that. We'd have to build a facility. It would have to be indoors, and it'd be great. I mean, the Steelers would come. All the people from Pittsburgh or Steeler Nation would ride
Packer Nation, whatever it is.
I'd buy tickets to that
Bears
game.
I'm telling you right now, this team, whatever, because the Aces will be taken by our NBA team. the Las Vegas 7 Outs or whatever we're called would be on the road every week.
Would it be Snake Eyes?
Whatever.
The Vegas Snake Eyes.
Give us your feedback, our stadium/arena proposal. Heavy lifter Joe Shaneman. He lifts weights too in his free time. Thanks for listening.